My guest today is Chris Heilmann. Chris, es freut mich, Sie kennenzulernen.
Das ist meine Freude.
What do you do?
I work in Microsoft and I work in open technologies, web technologies mostly. And I'm just here at a conference right now in Chicago, which is a lovely town, first time. I want to get the Tumbler from Batman to drive these cities because I know all these roads from the movies.
It took place in Gotham, yeah, but one of them was filmed underground in Chicago.
It's lovely, yeah.
Oh, right underneath us, actually. Lower Wacker Drive.
Yes, and I'm here at a conference and I'm going to be speaking tomorrow about progressive web apps to the people here. And,
progressive web apps. What is that?
It's apps that are progressive, and that's basically what it says on the tin.
Okay,
it is a set of technologies that breaks the problem that we have that native applications are really hard to use and really hard to install. You want to do something on the web, you normally get a URL and you go there, and then you get a button saying like, okay, download an application to do something with. Okay. 50 megabyte later that you had to pay on your data traffic, you look at the thing, you don't want it, you have to discard it again. So what PWAs are is a set of technologies, open web technologies, based on JavaScript.
PWA is the Progressive Web App.
Yeah, based on JavaScript that allows you to turn any HTML content that you have on the web into an installable application, but not the installable way like we did in the past with things like Firefox OS or WebOS that you basically had a zip file that you had to download and unpack. It's basically, it's progressively becoming better. So the first time you go to the website, it just becomes a very fast and beautiful experience. You basically get to the content as soon as possible and not just like 10,000 ads and pop-up things coming up. And the second time you go there, or the third time, the browser can tell you, by the way, you like this. Do you want to have an icon on your desktop or on your home screen from off your phone? You can access that content offline as well. When you press that, it already happened because the first two loads of the page, in the background, we can run a service worker, it's called, which is the JavaScript API that I talked about. And that one allows you to cache content while the user is actually clicking around the website.
This is some JavaScript that we, the developer, would have written.
Exactly. Okay. So instead of trusting the browser to do some caching for us, we define the name of the caches, which goes into them. We can refresh them. We can change them. We can delete them. We've got full access to the HTTP stack in JavaScript. So before the page loads, we could, for example, take all the images and optimize them to make them smaller. Before the page loads, we can make sure that a user that cannot play videos will not get any video content on the page. So we got a chance to give people an experience that is the same vitality and the same fidelity as a native application using only web standards and only web content. And the great thing about it is the distribution model is a URL. So instead of having to go send somebody to a marketplace where they have to sign in and give their credit card details or their firstborn son and 5 pints of blood, they actually just click on a link and they already have consumed the application and see what it's like. They then promote it to become an icon on the desktop if they wanted to.
Okay.
But they don't need to, they can just discard it. So it's a great way to make the bloated, slow web that we're experiencing right now faster and better for end users and to actually get more engagement, because on top of caching, you can also do things like notifications, and you can do like a background syncing of your application, so you don't need the user to actually say please reload to change it, because you can do it in the background next time it loads.
Okay, now we've been promised this for a long time, and it's always fallen a little bit short in the past. What's changed?
That's the main point about my talk. It's like in the past we always tried to beat native applications on the web with their own rules. So we made this like, okay, make a packaged application that you download somewhere that has in its core web technology.
Okay.
With progressive web apps, we're using the most powerful thing of the web, which is the link. And we use that as the install mechanism. And we've never done that before.
Okay.
We always send somebody to a marketplace and we said like we have to replace the web with a closed environment. And all of them are failing left, right and center. Like 80% of the apps in the Google App Store have never been downloaded.
Sure. So one of the things that keeps people from these web applications is a fear of the security. You know, the web. If I go to a web application that's all online, it all runs in a sandbox inside of my browser. Is that still true of what these progressive web apps?
Of course, there are security issues, but the main point about progressive web apps compared to normal websites is that they have to be run over HTTPS. So they have to run over a secured environment rather than just being in the wild. HTTP blindly JavaScript trusting is a very, very bad idea. Mm. But on the other hand, native applications are as bad. I mean, when people tell me, like, it's a lot of fun downloading APKs and unpacking them and looking what kind of plain text data files are in some of these packages,
sure.
Because it looks like it's security by obscurity. The good thing about a security model of the web in this case, when you go over and secure content and you also have a manifest file that defines when something is an application. It's not any website. You have to define a manifest and tell people what the endpoint are. And in this manifest, you also define what rights this application has to your machine to install other apps, to access the camera, to access geolocation. You don't have the wild, wild web of the past where we built APIs and then somebody found a vulnerability and we had no way to take it away again.
Right.
You have to opt in to getting access to more and more functionality.
Okay.
The great thing, though, is that it's in an incremental model again. So instead of the application asking for access to everything up front and thus either shocking end users or training them to give access to everything, which we do right now, you can on demand get new capabilities into your application. And the user can say yes or no, and it doesn't mean a full reinstall of your application like it does now.
Okay. What does it look like to a developer who's trying to build a progressive web app? What kind of tools do they need? What kind of
it's pretty simple.
Language they know?
All they need to do is write a manifest file, which is a JSON file in any text editor, and then they write a service worker that is just there. There, Google and others also have a lot of library sets for you out there. There's like the service worker toolkit that Google has released. There's a few things from Mozilla out there as well. We're working on a few things. We've got a website called PWA Builder, where you can just type in the URL of your application and it generates a manifest and a service worker for you from what it can get from your HTML file. And then you just tweak the things that you need to do. And the extra benefit of that one as well is that it's using manifest under the hood. So instead of just being a PWA, it also generates a binary iOS file and a binary Android file for you from that. So the whole stack is open. You don't need any Visual Studio. You don't need any massive IDEs. You don't need Xcode. You basically need a text editor and some JavaScript knowledge and a lot of like open source libraries that can make your life easier, but you don't even need them.
I see. And then it runs, when it actually runs in the client, is it running inside a browser?
Yes, very much.
What browser supports this?
The best support so far is Chrome on Android, because it's the biggest player on the mobile place. We haven't supported it in Edge yet, but we will in the near future. And what we're also doing is instead of supporting in the browser itself, we're allowing you to generate an HWA, the HTML web applications that we had since Windows 7, from a PWA automatically. So that way you can get access to the functionality of what Service Worker does through the plumbing of Windows rather than having to write it yourself.
That's kind of a shim that makes on browsers that don't support it yet.
Other great supports is from the Samsung browser as well, the Samsung Internet, it's called. It's a great name for a browser.
Is this mostly for mobile applications?
It's solving the biggest problem on mobile applications because there's the biggest hurdle of getting applications to run, and especially in lower connectivity environment or bad connectivity environment, it's not fun to run native applications that are 50 meg downloads when you have 10 megs a month for free, so to say.
And limited storage as well.
Exactly. So it's the biggest gain on mobile. Mm-hmm. It's not a mobile-only thing. You can also create desktop applications with it. You can create tablet applications, HoloLens applications, all of them are possible.
HoloLens applications.
Yeah.
I like the sound of that.
Yeah, you can run a UWP basically from it and then run it on a HoloLens if you wanted to.
If somebody wanted to get started, where would they go first?
I think the best way to start is actually go through the Service Worker cookbook. That's by Jake Archibald, it's called.
Okay. Just search. Actual physical book.
No, it's basically it's a website. It's on GitHub. Oh. It's also it allows you to contribute to it if you wanted to. It's Creative Commons.
Okay.
So that one actually shows you all the functionality of service workers, and the MDN documentation, Microsoft Developer Network, is really, really good in terms of functionality as well.
Hmm.
There's going to be a lot of resources in my talk tomorrow. There's something new every day.
Come to all your talks.
It's a big hotness at the moment. Like PWAs are one of the big hypes, and that's my biggest worry about it. A lot of people people are jumping onto it right now, and a lot of marketing people are putting PWA stamp on everything, although it's not really what it is.
No, I understand.
So we got to make sure that we're actually using this a great opportunity to build something wonderful for our end users, and not just to do yet another Ajax DHTML serverless NoSQL hype kind of thing.
But to be clear, you work for Microsoft, but this is not a Microsoft thing. These are web standards.
This is a web standard for everybody out there. I mean, like the it's also not a lot of people will say it's a Google thing because they did the most work for it.
Okay.
But they're very much what Google releases all together with other browser makers as well. We're not the enemies that every people always think. People are always fanboys of browsers. And in essence, all browsers want one thing to do is not break the internet. Mm-hmm. So we got to make sure we work together.
I agree. Are you you're speaking about this a lot. Are you writing about it as well?
I'm writing about it a lot as well. I'm speaking about it as well, and I'm publishing videos. There's almost everything out there. There's a lot of panel discussions.
There's the videos, the writing.
If you go to YouTube and you look for PWA Chris Hyman, you will find stuff.
Okay, you've got a channel there.
Yeah. Well, mostly it's conference talks that have been recorded.
I see.
I don't have time for my own channel, but
okay. I understand. I barely have time for this.
Well, you seem to be doing well.
Chris, thank you so much.
You're welcome. This is going to be fun. There's a lot of worries right now with machine learning and automation that machines will take over and become the new Terminator that gets rid of humans. But humans and technology can be good friends.